Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, thank you for inviting me. Can everyone hear me? It's okay? Yeah. So thank you for inviting me to come here and be with all of you. It's a very special time of year. Anyone feeling stressed out? Abhishek? So it's a very stressful time of year, but a very blissful time of year as well, because it's a time of year when we all come together and prepare for Krishna's appearance. It's a wonderful festival, and it's a wonderful time to actually associate with devotees also. So today we're speaking about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is important to every single member of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has touched so many people's hearts. And do you all know that today is a very, very special day? Yes. Does anyone know what today is?
Yes.
Not you, Ganesh. You heard the announcement. Anyone know what today is? A very special day on the calendar? A day relating to Srila Prabhupada? To give you a clue, it's something which happened 49 years ago on this very day. Didn't arrive in America, no?
He left India
to come to America. So 49 years ago on this day, Srila Prabhupada left India. Does anyone know how old Srila Prabhupada was when he left India, when he boarded the ship? 69, close. 68. He was 68, and he left, and he celebrated his 69th birthday on the ship. So, Srila Prabhupada coming to America is an amazing story. When Srila Prabhupada got onto the Jaladuta is the name of the boat which brought Srila Prabhupada to America. So he said, the Yamadutas take you to Yamaraj, the Vishnudutas take you to Vishnu, and the Jaladuta took Srila Prabhupada to America. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came onto the Jaladuta, all he had in his possession was 40 rupees. And you couldn't even use rupees in America at that time. They wouldn't accept the currency. So practically he came with no money. He came with a couple of sets of clothes. He had an umbrella. He had some kind of like cereal, oats that he would eat on the ship. And he had very bad health as well. There were many reasons why Srila Prabhupada could have said, no, I'm not going to leave India. It's not the right time. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was begging to get a free passage on board the Jaladuta, then the lady who owned the ship company, she didn't want to give Srila Prabhupada a ticket, because she said, Swamiji, at this age, if you go to America, you're going to end up dying there. You're going to end up dying alone with no one around you. At this age, going to America, I won't give you a ticket. Prabhupada said, no, you have to give me a ticket. She said, no, I can't do it. Srila Prabhupada, he said, this is the order of my spiritual master, that I must go to America and I must share these teachings with the whole world. He said, I'm begging you, please give me a free ticket. So she did give a free ticket, and Srila Prabhupada boarded that ship. So it was this time, 49 years ago, 1 week before Janmashtami, Prabhupada left Vrindavan. Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. Has anyone been to the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan? Anyone been there? There's a beautiful temple in Vrindavan where Srila Prabhupada was staying. And this place, Radha Damodar temple where Srila Prabhupada was staying, it said that this place is the center of the spiritual world. Because just behind this Radha-Damodar temple, there's a forest called Sevakunj. And in this forest, it said every evening, after the sun comes down, Krishna enters this forest, Sevakunj, with all his associates, and they have wonderful pastimes every night. And it said that no one can even go into that forest after 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. They close it. And they said anyone who enters that forest after that time, they come back mad. Because Krishna is performing his pastimes in that place. So Srila Prabhupada was living in that place. He was living in Vrindavan, in the center of the spiritual world. If you go to Vrindavan, then what are the daily sounds you hear? The birds are chirping. You hear the bells of all the temples. You hear constant kirtan going on. You hear all the rickshaw drivers, Radhe, Radhe. It's all very, very spiritual sounds. Prabhupada said even from his Radha-Damodar temple, some evenings he could hear Krishna playing the flute. So Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, in the center of the spiritual world. But he left it all behind. 1 week before Janmashtami, he left Vrindavan. It's like if you're picking a time to leave Vrindavan, the worst time to leave is 1 week before Janmashtami. Because I don't know if anyone's ever been for Janmashtami in Vrindavan, but it's an amazing festival. I mean, it's an amazing festival here. Imagine what it's like in Vrindavan. So 1 week before the festival of Janmashtami, Prabhupada left. It's like now all of you are here every evening and it's an amazing vibe and energy. And imagine I just said, okay, Surah. Here's a National Express coach ticket. You got to go to Doncaster. And for Janmashtami, you're going to chant under a tree and try and tell people about Krishna. Inspired? Tough, right? Difficult. Prabhupada left. Because he said the world needs this message. The world needs to know about Krishna. Actually, everyone is looking for Krishna. You see, people are looking for happiness in different things. But ultimately, behind everything, everyone's looking for Krishna. Prabhupada had that conviction. So he said, I'll go to America. So he went from the center of the spiritual world, Vrindavan, to the lower east side of New York. And this is like the center of the material world. Yeah, it's like a rough place. Like, my parents used to live in Halsden. Halsden's quite rough, yeah? But the lower east side, there's really rough place. Yeah, it was full of people taking acid. It was full of people taking pot. It was full of prostitution, full of crime. Prabhupada went there and he started a temple and he began telling people about Krishna. So like this, Prabhupada arrived in the lower east side of New York and it was a completely alien culture. It's like a 70-year-old sadhu just turns up in New York in the 1960s and now he's going to tell everyone about Krishna. It's like, good luck, yeah? Very difficult. But Prabhupada, he had that faith that everyone is looking for Krishna. So it was such an alien culture for him. One time when Srila Prabhupada, in the early days, he went into the supermarket and then he filled up his, like, the basket with different things. So then he got to the counter. So then the person's, like, scanning all the items and says, okay, that will be, $45. Prabhupada goes, I'll give you 38. This person's thinking like, no, the price is 45. Prabhupada goes, no, 38, 30, 39. Okay, 49. Because that's what you do in India, right? You barter. You didn't know the culture. It's completely different. Yeah. It's like one time he was with his disciple Mukunda and they were in the car. So Prabhupada, he bit an apple. And then he said, okay, here you go. So it's like the Mahaprasad from the spiritual master. So Mukunda is like, okay, yeah. So then he took a bite, he took another bite, and then he kind of got full up. So then he looked at Srila Prabhupada and he said, okay, here, you can finish it. My God. Because they didn't know the culture. These are the kind of people Srila Prabhupada was trying to start this movement with. Once there was a 19-year-old girl in New York, she wanted to marry Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, first thing, I'm 70, I'm old enough to be a grandfather. Second thing, I'm her spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada, the kind of people, they didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. But Srila Prabhupada, he saw within them that there was some sincere desire to serve Krishna. So he encouraged them. And with these disciples, you know, he just started a temple, and then he just started to attract so much interest in the area of New York. Every evening they would come to the temple, and Srila Prabhupada would lecture and he would do kirtan. One time Srila Prabhupada, he walked into the first temple, 26 Second Avenue, and it was full of hippies. So then one person walked in with Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, who are all these people? So Prabhupada looked at this person, he goes, I don't know. So the person looks at Srila Prabhupada and he goes, well, why are all these people here? Prabhupada goes, I don't know. Prabhupada goes, I don't think they know either. Like, all these people had just come, they were looking for something. They weren't quite sure what it was, but they were attracted. And Srila Prabhupada, they would come and he would just teach them the philosophy. He was so expert in teaching the philosophy. He was so expert in answering all their questions. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the spiritual world like? Srila Prabhupada was sitting in front of all the hippies. He said, the spiritual world? The spiritual world is like an ocean of LSD. And they were impressed. They were impressed. That was like good, you know. So sometimes they would ask questions like that. Sometimes they would be challenging questions. One time one person stood up and he said, Swamiji, what if everyone became a devotee of Krishna? What would happen to the world? So Prabhupada said, don't worry, there'll always be fools like you who won't. So sometimes there were sincere inquiries. Sometimes there were challenging inquiries. Sometimes there were very philosophical inquiries. One time they came to Srila Prabhupada and they said, Swamiji, can God create a rock that's so heavy that God can't lift it? This is a famous philosophical argument called the problem of rocks. Like, philosophers have debated this for centuries. Can God create a rock that's so heavy that he himself can't lift it? If you say yes, then God can't lift something. And if you say no, then there's something God can't create. So what's the answer? Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, God can create a rock so heavy he can't lift it, and then he can lift it. And that was it, end of conversation. Like, what philosophers have debated for centuries, Prabhupada just cut it off in one sentence. That was it, case closed, nothing more to say. He was so expert at teaching the philosophy to people. One time someone said, does the guru know everything? Prabhupada said, yes, the guru knows everything. So then the person said, so how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? So Prabhupada looked at the person and he said, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? Such a deep answer. How many drops of water are there in a mirage? What will you say? 5 drops, 500 drops, 5,000 drops? It doesn't matter, because a mirage doesn't even exist in reality. Similarly, Prabhupada was explaining, the Guru knows everything because the Guru knows everything that's worth knowing. The Guru knows everything that is actually eternal. What's the point in knowing so many things about the temporary material world that come and go? That's not relevant. Guru knows everything. So like this, Prabhupada, one time someone came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, why are you starting so many temples? There's already so many temples. So Prabhupada looked at this man and he said, is that your wife? He said, yeah, that's my wife. So he said, do you both have children? He said, yeah, we have three children. He said, why did you have children? There's so many children in the street in India. Take a few children from there. Why don't you have your own children? He said, no, but that's all. Prabhupada said, yeah, this is my offering to Krishna. I will start my temple and we will make these temples embassies of the spiritual world. So Prabhupada was so expert. And like this, he started a movement. Just from New York, from a few hippies who didn't know anything about the culture but who were sincere. And this group of initial devotees spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. If you want, sometimes people say, prove to me that God exists. This is the proof. How is it that Prabhupada could spread from those insignificant, humble beginnings, spread a movement to every town and village in the world? That's a miracle. That is a miracle. One time someone came to Srila Prabhupada, a yogi, and he was telling Prabhupada, I can materialize apples. You know, like, yeah, apple. Prabhupada looked at him and he said, is that your miracle? He said, yeah, that's my miracle. I can materialize apples. And Prabhupada said, I came to the USA with 40 rupees. From 40 rupees, we started a movement. Now we have 100 temples. And in every single one of our temples, there are many apple trees. And on each one of these apple trees, there are hundreds of apples. So you can, if you're that into apples, I can give you tens of thousands of apples from my temples. But this is the real miracle, that Srila Prabhupada was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this movement is a movement of miracles. Miracles happened in the past. Miracles are going to happen now. And you know what? Amazing miracles are going to happen in the future. And our great fortune is that we can be part of that. Otherwise, what else are we going to do in the world, you know? I remember I used to be at university and I was kind of getting into Krishna Consciousness Society, but, you know, also hanging around with other nefarious associations. And I remember I used to sit in the student union. I'm not joking. And I wasn't doing any studying or anything. Sit in the student union from 9 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. Doing absolutely nothing, just shooting the breeze. Prabhupada said, you know, they say we're just killing time, but they don't realize time is just killing them. So that was me, you know, time was just killing me. Doing nothing significant in life. And then I met the devotees, and they said, do you want to become president? And that was it, finished. And then it was just service. But it was so joyful that I actually felt like I was actually making a difference to the world. I remember I used to put on my headphones And I used to go into the campus like really early, like 7 o'clock in the morning before anyone was around. I used to just plaster the place with posters for events, you know. And I used to be there with my headphones on, like putting, and I used to feel like, yeah, I'm on a mission, you know, I'm doing something, I'm making a difference. And it's still like that. You feel like being part of this movement is such an adventure that you have a great time. And at the same time, you actually make a tangible difference to this world. So the world really needs a spiritual message, and being part of this movement gives us a great opportunity to do that. So there's many more miracles to come in the future. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that this movement will spread to every town and village in the world. Sometimes you think, like, will people really take it on that level? Will the Hare Krishna movement really become that widespread? It will happen, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said it. We may not know how it's going to happen, but it will happen. Just like, how many of you use Facebook? Come on, own up. Facebook, all of you, along with probably 1 or 2 billion people in this world, probably use Facebook on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? What is Facebook? One guy, what's his name? Zuckerman? Is that his name, right? One guy who had some idea. And within 5 or 6 years, whatever it is, billions of people are using it. So if someone can come up with an idea like that, that becomes so widespread so quickly, how is it not possible that this movement will spread? It will spread. It will happen. And like Krishna said to Arjun, this war is over. It's finished. Done and dusted. I've already arranged it. Only thing is, do you want to participate and be a part of it? So don't be in anxiety. Sometimes we're serving and we're trying to share Krishna consciousness and we think like, it's not happening, it's not so big. We're not achieving anything. But we only have to do our part, because Krishna's already arranged it. And just by being part of this, amazing things will happen to you on a day-to-day basis. This is the greatest adventure, and many, many miracles will happen. We only have to just be part of it. So today we're speaking about Srila Prabhupada. And one reason why we're speaking about Srila Prabhupada is because it's very, very important for everyone to have a very close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Do we sometimes have doubts in spiritual life? Do we sometimes have days where we don't really feel so enthusiastic? Sometimes we have days where we're not sure that this is even true. From whatever small experiences I have, one thing I can say for sure that will keep you fixed, enthusiastic and happy in Krishna consciousness is if you have a very, very close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Because every time you have a doubt, every time you have a difficulty, every time you're feeling a little bit down or unenthusiastic, all you have to do is turn to Srila Prabhupada's life. You can open his biography, you can hear a lecture, you can watch a video, and I guarantee you, if you develop a very close relationship with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada becomes a constant source of inspiration that will carry you through whatever difficulties may come. You will be able to deal with anything if you develop a close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, his life answers all the doubts. His life doesn't leave any room for excuses for any of us. Whatever troubles we're going through, Prabhupada went through those troubles 100 or 1,000 times more difficult than us. And he did it to show us that whatever obstacles there are in life, if we remain determined, we can come closer to Krishna. So it's very important to develop a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And like this, we have so much access. We can hear all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. We can read all his books. We can read his letters and conversations. We can watch the videos. There's so much by which we can develop a relationship with him. And surely you will not find anyone in this world greater than Srila Prabhupada. Because what he did, the sacrifices he made, this is unbelievable. And this is the proof that Krishna exists. Srila Prabhupada's life is the proof that Krishna exists. Yeah. So I don't want to speak too much. I'd take maybe if anyone has any questions or comments or anything they'd like to add to this. Anyone brave enough to kick us off? Any questions? Srila Prabhupada's life has answered all the questions, huh? Yeah? Is there anything else you'd like to discuss or anything else that we were meant to talk about that you expected? Yeah? Friction.
Maybe.
Just maybe.
Just in case.
Okay. Yeah, so I think there is a talk on this, but we can say something anyway. The importance of cooperation. So where people come together, there are always differences. That's like inevitable. Right, so tolerance is a very, very important thing first when we have differences. One time someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "This devotee is too much, like too much, just can't tolerate this person anymore." Prabhupada said, "You have to tolerate that person just as I am tolerating you." We think everyone else is wrong, everyone else, they're out of it, I know what, you know, the way is, you know. But people have to also, we're being tolerated, and we have to also tolerate others. So first thing is we have to learn to tolerate whatever differences may be there. But also, we have to learn to appreciate as well. We have to learn to appreciate that we're individuals, and individuals have different ways and ideas of serving Krishna, and all of them are valid. And it's not always that my way is the only way. We have to appreciate that sometimes other people have better ideas than us. So first we have to tolerate differences, then we have to learn to appreciate each other and the different contributions that everyone is making. And the ultimate thing that we have to understand is, as you said, Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate together. So actually, there were some famous devotees called the Prachetas. And they were told by their father to go and perform many austerities. So they went underwater. And they performed austerities for many, many, many years underwater. I don't know how they did it. Try to figure it out. After they came from underwater performing so many austerities, they were told, I am very, very pleased with you. Not because of your austerities, but because of your friendship amongst each other. In other words, that is valued more by Krishna than even the offering you make. What is valued by Krishna even more than what you give him is the love that we and the friendship with which we try to give something to him. And then whatever you give to him, that's a different. So if we give something amazing to Krishna, but we disrespect and we cause each other offense in the process, we may offer the best thing to Krishna, but if we do it in a way that's destructive to Vaishnava relationships, then actually it's not pleasing to Krishna. Because what does Krishna need? He's got everything. But he wants to see that the devotees are lovingly cooperating and giving something together like that. And ultimately, when we cooperate, then actually you can actually make the best offering. Because we always think, I have the best idea. But when we learn to adjust and take the best of everyone's ideas, then we really get the best idea. So not only does cooperation please Krishna, but cooperation ensures that we make the best offering to Krishna. Like that. So it's very, very important like that, that we have to work together. We have to work together. And that's why when Srila Prabhupada, when he wanted to start this movement, he brought many, many devotees together, all from different backgrounds. And he got them to cooperate together because he knew that would be more powerful than just everyone doing their own individual thing. So some thoughts. Yeah.
I just had a question about you saying that sometimes myself when I'm struggling in my spiritual life, or I'm going through some difficult service, sometimes I try to look at Srila Prabhupada's life and see how he dealt with things, but often I find myself making the excuse that he's Srila Prabhupada, that's why he can do that. And I sort of say that I can't do this, I'm not a devotee, so I can't deal with this sort of stress and this sort of difficulty in service with these obstacles. How can I go past this barrier of always thinking that I'm not good enough?
Of course, one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. Prabhupada said, now you become the 14th Mahajan. Prabhupada was a pure devotee. But do you know that if a pure devotee cannot make other pure devotees, then that pure devotee's glory is limited. The real glory of someone who's very, very powerful in their spirituality is that they can instill the same spiritual power in those who follow them. So Srila Prabhupada, he was a pure devotee, undoubtedly, and no one can ever come close to Srila Prabhupada's character. But his glory is that he gave us something by which we could also become pure devotees. And therefore Srila Prabhupada always told his disciples that strive. Don't say that I'm not you or I can't make it. Strive to be that. Strive to get there. Like one time the devotees got back very late from a program, maybe after midnight or something. So then they all went to sleep. Prabhupada was up for Mangal Arati, but all the devotees were just like crashed out. It was a big feast at the end of the night. So then at about 6 o'clock, Prabhupada, you can imagine if you're sleeping and then Prabhupada comes in the room. So Prabhupada came in the room and he's like, okay, everyone, wake up, you know, and then everyone's just like, you know, just waking up. And then he came to one devotee and said, why are you sleeping? So the devotee said, it was a late night. Prabhupada said, I also had a late night. I was up for Mangal Arati. He said, but Prabhupada, I'm not you. So Prabhupada said, yeah, I'm also not you. But we can both wake up. They said, Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, why are you not a pure devotee? He said, well, I'm just not. He said, well, become a pure devotee. In other words, Prabhupada was saying that everyone can make it to that standard. So if Prabhupada's life and the teachings that he gave us are not something that we can imbibe in our own life, then actually that's a limitation of Prabhupada's glories. So the very glory of Prabhupada is that his life and what he gave us is something that we can also become. So we have to strive for that. And it's not that you have to become a pure devotee overnight. So if you can do it, great. Let me know. I'd like the same thing. But just make many, many small changes to your life. You know, the problem in life is sometimes we want to change, but we just want to make a big change. And it's like, if I can't make the big change, I don't want to do anything then. But no, if you make many, many small changes in your life, then what will happen is over time you'll become a different person. So I always say this, rather than thinking about perfection in your life, just think about progress. Progress is more important than perfection. Every day, just think, how can I become a better devotee of Krishna? And just focus, if every day you progress a little bit, count that day a success. And if you have 365 days of successful progress every day, I guarantee you you'll be a changed person. So every day just make small, small adjustments to your life to become more and more Krishna conscious. One time someone was sculpting an elephant from ice. So this amazing elephant, it was like very intricate. And so the person came up to this sculptor and said, this is amazing, amazing elephant. How did you do it? So the person said, it's easy. So he said, really? How did you do it? So then he pointed and there was a block of ice. And he said, I just took this block of ice and I just started chipping away at everything that wasn't the elephant. It's a good answer, it doesn't really help you practically if you want to do it. The moral lesson from it is, take your life and think, in your life there's so many things that don't contribute to your spiritual life, right? I'm not making an accusation against you, it's all of us, right? There's so many things that you have that don't make any contribution to Krishna consciousness. So gradually start either taking those things out or adjusting them in such a way that they do make a contribution. And if you gradually do that every day, it's only time before you become a pure devotee. So it's possible. Everyone can do it. And that's the glory of Srila Prabhupada's life. Yeah? Any other questions? Yeah? That's a very nice question. Not only if you've grown in the movement, even those who join the movement later, familiarity breeds contempt. So after some time you think like, yeah, Prabhupada's nice. But I know the story, and you know, doesn't maybe touch your heart as much. See, a relationship goes deep when we act in the relationship. It's just like if there's a husband and wife and they're like, oh yeah, I love you so much. And then it's like, the wife's like, well, can you pick me up from the station? No, no, I'm busy. It's like, okay, well, cheap words. So. Action makes something go deep. So if you want to really have a deep relationship with Srila Prabhupada, it's not just hearing about Srila Prabhupada, that's important. It's not just reading Srila Prabhupada's book, that's important. But it's about actually entering into an active relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, I have a big headache. The world is suffering and people need a spiritual message. Please take some of my headache away. And when we enter into that kind of relationship with Srila Prabhupada, where you say, okay, Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to try and do something for you, then the relationship with Srila Prabhupada goes much deeper, because then it becomes an active relationship. So I think more than just hearing and reading, which is very important, but more than that is we have to actually get active in the relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And then, as I said, you'll see miracles happening in your life. And you'll think, my God, Srila Prabhupada, he's right there with me. And you'll feel his presence. And when you pray to him, then you'll feel the reciprocation and you'll feel that he's talking back to me. You'll feel that. But that can only happen if you make that endeavor to. And that's for all of us. So I would say get active, and I'm sure you are doing that. Try to intensify, do more. And try to really, especially in this regard of sharing Krishna consciousness with others, in whatever way you do it, speak to. In one letter to someone, Srila Prabhupada says a beautiful thing. Says, just every day, tell one person about Krishna. And by the end of this life, you'll be a pure devotee. Every day, just tell one person. So just something simple like that, and you'll feel Srila Prabhupada is right there with you. So I think that's very, very important to get active and help Srila Prabhupada in what he came here to do. And then it goes deeper. Is that okay? Is it? Anyone? So we finish there. Thank you so much for your attention and the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Let's go to the Guru ki
jai.
So first of all, on behalf of Pandav Sen and all of us, we'd really like to thank you so much for starting off the Inspire Evenings with amazing insights about Srila Prabhupada. A lot of stories I didn't know, actually. Can we have three very, very loud Hari Bols for this great seat of the group?
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
This great seat of the group. I'd also like to thank all of you guys for coming today for the first Inspire session. I'd really like to request you to keep on coming. Just keep this focus as we can about Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and the whole service. Just take this 1 hour away from any service that you're doing and just keep on trying to come. Like Srila Prabhupada said, that there's one talk is on cooperation. So tomorrow, I think hopefully we'll try and figure out, we'll be having Chitti Shakti Mataji, and she'll be speaking about the mood of service. And then after that, on Wednesday, Ghanshyam Priyapuru will be speaking about cooperation. On Thursday, Neelamani Mataji will be speaking about what it's like to be in Vrindavan, the mood of Vrindavan. And on Friday, to end off, we're going to have Naveen Krishnapuru speak about the good, the bad, and ugly, which is all the Janmashtami stories from the past and how PSF, always done something bad. But that's something to look forward to. So can we also thank the team which have been helping put this together, which is Gina, Madhvi, Sahil, Kishan, Amy, who have really wanted these Inspire sessions to go ahead. But thank you very much. And also, can we, after this, there are so many other places that you can get involved, like there's painting and stuff you can do. You can go back to your tents. You can go home if you want. But before we do, Hasita has been very, very kind, and she's made brownies for us. So can we have a massive hurry ball for that also?
Haribo!
And Hasita's brownies are world famous. I mean, like, people... We had them in Spain. We had them here. That's two countries. But thank you so much, Hasita. I shall be giving them to you at the end. But to finally end off, hopefully tomorrow we will see you here for the next Inspire session. But again, one more time, can we have one massive loud hurry ball for His Grace Sita Baruki?
Hey, hey,
His Grace Sita Baruki. Shri Prabhupada the key.
Oh,
okay. I come to the front for the brownies which Kishan will be giving.
I'll be giving, yeah?